On the afternoon of June 27, 2016, Ken Heisler returned home from work to a scene that would alarm any parent.
So, what's the story?
I came home from work. I left at 3:30 this morning to go to work. I come home, my wife's stuff is missing. And I tried to call my boy. He doesn't answer. Car's gone. And his wallet's still in the cabin.
And the TV's on. Come on.
And he lives here with you?
Yeah.
Valuables were missing. And so was his 30-year-old son, David. And there were ominous clues that indicated he had not left under his own free will. When detectives dug deeper, they uncovered a chilling truth. This wasn't just a missing person. It was something far more sinister.
There's blood on the ground, on the floor.
That looks like perhaps blood in those cracks.
I mean, I thought you were the devil.
Hold of him.
Under these circumstances, I'm telling you, something is wrong.
Get out of here. But just so you know, you assisted them with really, really bad things.
No.
You bugged me because I got killed right here.
Before we begin, we would like to extend our deepest sympathies to the family and loved ones of the victim in this case, David Heisler. David Heisler lived with his father Ken and his stepmother Debbie in Santa Clara, a small community that is part of the St. George metropolitan area. It is tucked into the southwest corner of Utah near the borders of Nevada and Arizona. Surrounded by natural beauty and boasting a low crime rate, it is considered one of the safest places in the state to live. Random violent crime is rare. On the surface, a grown man going off on his own for a few hours might not seem like grounds to panic, but Ken had good reason to be worried about his son that day. David had been embroiled in a bitter custody battle with the mother of his 6-year-old child for years, and just 2 weeks earlier, on June the 13th, a judge had upheld David's sole custody of his daughter. His ex-girlfriend, Kelly Perry, was enraged and devastated by this development. She was only allowed to have scheduled visits that were supervised by David's stepmother. The long and volatile legal battle led David's parents to hire a private investigator to help with the custody case. The day that David disappeared, the PI showed up to lend a hand and to share background information that he had gathered with the police. He offered a theory. He believed a man close to Kelly might have been responsible for hurting David.
But then again, like I said, some night,
maybe you can you gonna get me? Oh, don't come out.
Like I said, he knows the people.
I'm the private investigator on the case. Oh my gosh, he's trying to look like Ozzy Osbourne. He's a bad guy.
David? No, the son or the...
No, the boyfriend
of his ex-wife or
ex-girlfriend. Yeah,
girlfriend.
David's mother. Yeah. I mean, it's so bad, I walked in the courtroom.
Do you know what his name is?
What is his name? Hold on. I think I ran a report on him. He's got a rap sheet. So long.
So it has to be 24 hours before you actually do something, huh?
Before we can list him as missing, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Well, if we get a hold of him.
Under these circumstances, I'm telling you, right now,
is it likely that he was...
Something's wrong.
Something went,
he wouldn't do this. Okay? I'm telling you right
now. He'd be pawn, but the blood, I don't think he would take Debbie's stuff.
No.
The iPad... Yeah.
Are any of his clothes missing or anything? Or did you notice?
No.
His shoes are still there, you know?
But
that bedroom's still trash.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
When you run the boyfriend's background, you're going to see who you're dealing with. He's Ozzy Osbourne.
I've run across that name before.
He's really big.
So it's been a few years ago.
Yeah.
But
he's my age.
He's creepy.
55.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was the devil. Yeah.
Really?
When I walked in the courtroom... I mean, I literally walked to the courtroom and the lights were like, boom. I'm like, oh, creepy.
Yeah, that's...
The judge, Wormsley, did you do something wrong? No, I didn't do that.
Oh, that's...
You know, but I have worked on this case, and this has been one of our biggest fears, right?
Mm.
Okay?
The people that she hangs out with.
She's, yeah, they're bad.
Itchy people.
Yeah, so I would take this more I'd rather be more serious. I mean, take it serious. Like, we shouldn't even be in that garage right now at this point. What if we're contaminating?
Well, we've looked at that, you know.
Yeah.
We're not.
So,
say you only have them in 24 hours. Come back and take a sample of that blood.
Well, it's dried. We can get a sample of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave that.
Yeah, we can scrape something up if we need to, but it, like you're saying, it's most likely they scrape themselves on something, but I can't really figure out. Maybe that's like when they flip the switch. You know, it's like they had a cut on their hand or something. They flip the switch, but then it doesn't go on the carpet.
That's going down.
You know, I didn't see anything on the carpet through here anywhere.
It's going downward.
Or, I don't know. I don't know.
As the time ticked by and David failed to materialize or communicate with anyone he knew, police officers repeatedly returned to the Heisler home to gather more evidence and information. Although police are still considering the possibility that David had left the house voluntarily, they still launched an investigation to look into his disappearance the day after his dad reported him missing. Detectives visited the house where the mother of David's child was renting a room. If David had been taken against his will, 31-year-old Kelly Marie Perry was a prime suspect because she had the most to gain from his absence. It was no secret that she was upset about the outcome of the custody battle, so interviewing her was a logical step in their investigation.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Could I talk to her?
Oh, sure.
Okay. She didn't want to get up?
I let her out through the door of her house.
Oh, is this your mom or?
No, just a friend.
Oh, a friend? Okay. So, I'm Sergeant Nuchtel.
I know who you are.
Oh, you know who I am?
Santa Clara, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, this is Detective Norman.
Hi.
Can we talk to you for a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Or? Okay. First thing is, did you get a call yesterday from officers from Santa Clara Island?
I got a call from Detective Schaefer.
Okay. And what did he talk to you about?
He said that David was missing. I've been in contact with his parents as well. I've talked to the Washington police officer.
Okay.
I've been in contact with all of you guys, so.
Okay. So what do you think is kind of going on?
I honestly don't know what to think at this point. I'm really, flustered over the whole thing because I've been in contact with his dad. I've been in contact with Washington, Detective Schaefer. And what was his name this morning? Do you remember? I don't know who it was. It was another investigator that came by this morning. I don't remember his name, but...
From what department?
Did he say department he was with? Or is he private?
I don't know. Like I said, I was asking what you said, and I couldn't remember.
Not sure. I had just barely woke up when he showed up, so I don't know, but
okay.
I've been in contact with all of them, and I just don't even know what
to do. So the last time you talked to him was when?
The last time I actually talked to him was, I believe, Monday morning. No,
Monday morning?
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you guys talk about?
He was trying to get me to go to his house and go stay the night with him and talk about things, according to him. I was kind of baffled by that because we don't have a relationship like that. I mean, if you remember correctly, it was last year around this same time, he was sending me text messages that were sexually solicitating kind of messages, like telling me to come have sex with him and he'll give me money.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
So we
don't have
a relationship like that. So I was kind of taken back by that, wondering what that was all about. And then yesterday morning at 3:30, somewhere around there in the morning, he was sending texts to my phone saying that his dad went to work and for me to come over. And I was
Early Monday morning?
Early yesterday morning, yeah. And I was half asleep and I said, good for you or good or something, because he sent me pictures that his dad wasn't home. And I'm like,
can I see those?
Yeah, let me.
Would it be okay to come in? It's hot out
absolutely
here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I heard that the gentleman this morning, and he was come over to stay outside.
Oh, no. I prefer the cool air.
your PC with a hat?
If my phone will go off. See, it was like, he sent me these pictures and said that his dad wasn't home. It was 3:38 in the morning.
Okay, so the pictures of in the garage?
Mm-hmm.
Of the car gone.
And then his dad's bed.
He is gone. Hello, you go back to sleep. Good.
That was
Kells.
Me, I said good.
What's Kells?
It's just my nickname. Oh. I don't know why my signature.
Are you coming? Can you please give me an answer? I know. 3:55 a.m. I'm so worried about you. I hope you're okay. Please at least let me know if you're in trouble or something. You can tell me and I'll help whoever I can. Tell.
Supposed to say however, I think. But.
Okay.
So I tried calling him yesterday after the Washington police officer called me. Because after I got those texts, I woke up and I called him. I think it was like 10-something in the morning yesterday morning. I called and it rang and then went to voicemail. I figured he was probably at work.
A text conversation between Kelly and David had begun on Saturday afternoon and continued sporadically until around 4 a.m. Monday morning, the day that David went missing. He wrote that he wanted Kelly to come over so they could talk and maybe more. When he found out she was packing to move, he offered to help her move into his room. David was persistent and many messages were exchanged between them. Although Kelly later claimed that she was surprised by David's advances and confused that he sent her photos of his dad's empty bed and garage, the messages revealed that she was the one who kept insisting that she needed proof that David's father wasn't home before she would come over. When David asked why it mattered, she claimed it was because the situation would be too awkward for her. Police found the text messages suspicious, given the timing. But Kelly insisted that she was just as bewildered as everyone else about what had happened to David.
We've been trying to figure it all out. I'm like
weird.
Overwhelmed with it, going, what the heck?
Mom's out of town, and now he wants her to come over and talk
about
me all
for the last however long it's been. It's been, what, like 2 years now almost?
Mm-hmm.
That he's been fighting me with my daughter, and we just barely had court on the 19th, and he got full custody of her. And then his mom took off a couple days later to New York with her. So I'm like, none of this is making any sense to me. What's going on? And I don't know enough of his friends. Like, I've been on Facebook trying to see who we have in common on Facebook that I could say, hey, have you seen him? Have you heard from him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have any common friends on Facebook with him anymore.
Okay.
A name that kept coming up was Mario, one of David's closest friends. He was texting with David right before he disappeared early that Monday morning. On Tuesday, police went to Mario's home and asked him what he knew. Mario doesn't like talking to the cops. He tells the officer he's more street than David and that he protects him.
Officer from Santa Clara, I'm in
the look, man, I already told y'all, man, I'm being nice, man. I'll ask you guys not to call me and everything. I have nothing to do with this. No, man, every time I get out, I got to deal with police. This has nothing to do with me.
Is it just kind of weird that that would happen, or?
Dave's, you know what I mean? That's my friend, but
okay.
he's not that type of person to have, like, you know, enemies like that. So that's why I try to
investigate. Well, his dad's worried about him.
Well, of course, I would too.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm trying to figure out, like, who he knows. A couple people brought up your name because you guys are, like, doing music or
we're
something
really,
together
really
or trying to do records.
I'm coming over here all the time. That's okay. What I mean. I was probably the last person you spoke to, so that's why I just don't understand. Like,
okay.
It's just weird.
So he was saying a girl was going to come over?
Yeah.
Just a random chick?
Well, he don't have no girlfriend or anything, so he sleeps around, so.
Okay. Do you know of any girls that he might have been with?
No, I don't know, because like I said, it was 3 or 4 in the morning. He was waiting for the girl to come over.
Okay.
So the last text I sent him was like, all right, cool, man. I'm going to go sleep.
So did you talk to Sierra today?
What's that got to do with
anything? Well, because I spoke with her.
What's that got to do with anything?
I'm just asking, did you talk to her?
That has nothing to do with what's going on. I don't understand what that has to do with anything.
You checked in today, right?
Okay, what does that have to do with anything, though?
Because in order for me to find you, right, I have to go through AP&P.
Okay, yeah, that has nothing to do with what the situation is. Okay, you found me, that's cool.
You mean
don't bring that up, though. That has nothing to do with nothing. Just that it has nothing to do with Dave's situation.
Why are you getting so mad about it?
Because you're over here questioning me about something stupid when my friend's missing. You guys you're wasting your time talking about my probation officer.
No, I'm just saying, have you talked to her?
What does that have to do with anything? You just know.
Yes,
you
did.
You just know I checked him.
Yes, he did.
No, I know you went there this morning, right?
You know, so why you ask me dumb questions?
Okay, I'm asking you a dumb question because I want to know if you've talked to her since you found out about Dave.
No, I just barely found out.
Okay.
Like maybe like 4 hours, 5 hours ago.
4 or 5 hours ago, okay. And then you said you reached out to some other friends.
I'll find out what's going on.
Okay. Can you tell me who those friends are?
Sorry, I don't talk to police like that.
Okay.
You guys know that. All you cops know I don't talk to police like that. I don't mess with the police like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never...
No, I don't talk to police. I'll never ever dime on anybody. I'll never bring any names up. I'd rather find out myself.
Okay. But then if you find out yourself, who are you going to tell?
I'm not going to tell nobody.
Well, how are you going to know Dave's okay?
Well, I'll know. I'll find out. I'll know.
I know, but the point is to let his family know he's okay.
Of course I'll let his family know.
I know. Do you have their information, or?
I think I was speaking to his mom on Facebook. I gave her my phone number, so.
Okay.
It was a tense situation, and with every hour that ticked by with no word from David, hope was slipping away. His shift was about to start for his job at the Cliffside Restaurant. He was a reliable employee, so if he failed to show up, the urgency of this missing persons case would immediately intensify. The police had a growing suspicion that Kelly Perry knew more than she was letting on, and they weren't alone in that line of thinking. Even before he had learned that his son had not shown up for work, Ken's instincts told him that David's ex-girlfriend was involved.
I mean, just in my heart, I think she did it. I think she's behind it. Personally. There's no other... I don't think anybody was out there for David. Why would they just specifically attack this house?
So were you in court with him when custody was granted?
Yeah.
What was her reaction to it?
She was crying all the time. And she really had no defense. Mental breakdown. And in judgment said that she needs help. I think we find Carter, find David.
Yeah, we're working real hard on that one. Yep.
He bugged me because I know I got killed right there.
Detectives went back to interview Kelly again. This time, they delved deeper into the roots of her custody conflicts with her child's father and his family. Kelly was not shy about sharing the details of their troubled history.
So tell us about custody just real quick so we can try and make sure we can answer your questions.
So I had sole custody of her until September of 2014. Yeah, 2014. September 2014, I got married and moved to Cedar City.
Who did you marry?
I married James Perry.
James Perry.
Uh-huh. And David came to my house a week after we moved to Cedar City and took her on an ex parte motion of custody. And we just barely had our trial.
Who's pushing for all this? Is it Debbie?
It's Debbie. Debbie's the one that has pushed all this because I was trying to move home to Wyoming where my family's at.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie wasn't okay with that because then she wouldn't have Mariah close by. So she pushed David into, well, you can't let her take her. You can't let her take her. And it's been constant battle, and it's never between me and him over our daughter. It's always me and Debbie. Since he got custody of her, I've been on supervised visitation because they think that I'm coaching my daughter, or they think that I'm going to take off with her. And I'm like, I'm just trying to be her mom. You know, I've always been her mom. I've always taken very good care of her. Up until he took her, I was the sole provider for her. He owed me almost $4,000 in back child support when he took custody of her.
He owed you $4,000?
Mm-hmm. And now,
is there a child support agreement?
There was a child support order that stated that he was supposed to pay me child support. And when he got custody, they put it to where I have to pay him child support and it goes towards his arrears. So now it's at a zero balance.
Oh, so you wouldn't have to pay him.
Exactly. So Debbie has been nonstop, just are you with me? Constant conflict. And at first, when he first took Mariah, the court said he couldn't even be there during my visits because they didn't want conflict for my daughter. Well, mm-hmm. It's not him that has conflict with me, it's Debbie. Every time she gets upset with me, it's, oh, well, you're not going to see her. You're not going to have your visitation. Well, it's court ordered. You can't do that. So I just don't even know. Like, she texts me. She's been in New York.
Yeah.
And the last 3 days, she hasn't answered my phone calls or nothing. I mean, she was court ordered that she was supposed to give me itinerary before she left. Didn't mm-hmm. do it.
Kelly vehemently denied any involvement in David's disappearance, and she took it a step further than that. She wanted sympathy for the emotional burden she was enduring. She said that she was scared that her daughter might be in danger of becoming the perpetrator's next victim.
It's like, they need to understand, too, that I'm going through turmoil on my own, too, because we don't know where he's at or what happened. For all we know, somebody could come there for my daughter, you know? That's what's going through my head.
So here, again, given all of these little events, I think we now need to posture ourselves to look at maybe something horrible did happen to David.
Right.
So we need to start establishing a timeline, and also that means alibi.
Right.
So that's another reason why I'm here, is that I need to get your whereabouts, if you're willing to, is to detail some of these things that helps us either say, hey, look, maybe you did have something to do with it.
Right.
Or, hey, look, she's super cooperative. She's given us everything we've asked for.
That's all I want to do is
that's why we're here,
you guys, because, like, I'm just as confused with this whole thing as everybody else, and I'm just as worried for David, for Mariah, for everybody that's involved, like, his family. I just want... Like, I was trying to tell Debbie, we need to pull together for that little girl. Because she's probably worried sick, wondering what's going on. All these police around and all the hustle and bustle around her, she's not used to that.
Any concern that Kelly had for David's well-being was eclipsed by her budding plans for a future with her daughter. She had already put the wheels in motion to regain custody from her missing ex.
I didn't have a lawyer, and so I contacted the court clerk and said, hey, this is what's going on. What's my legal
rights
as far as this goes? You know, I'm court ordered by the court to have visitation. She's telling me that I can't see my daughter. She doesn't have custody. Her son does. And she said, well, if he's not there and he's got custody, then automatically it defaults back to you. You have every right to go and take your child from her. I don't necessarily want to take my child from them, but at the same time, I know how Debbie is. And
well, you did make some pretty harsh statements a while ago when you were doing those GoFundMe
accounts. I did, and it's because me and Debbie, like,
I mean,
constantly... I did, and it's because Debbie...
I mean, I have one right here that said, I'm begging you to please help me get my baby girl out of the hands of these monsters. I mean...
Yeah, and it's because Debbie has sat here and made me out to be, like, I'm not capable of taking care of my daughter or something, or that I neglected or abused her or something. It never was like that. I was taking care of my daughter full-time, full care and custody with me. They got mad because I got married to somebody not David and moved out of the county. Debbie got pissed off about it.
For moving on with your life.
Yeah, for me moving on with my life. Because Debbie, the entire time we were together, pushed me and David. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married?
Just because you had a child.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, just because we have a child together does not mean that we're going to be married. That's a choice that me and David have to make. Nobody else can make that for us. I didn't want to marry David because David was content living with his family. I don't want that. I want to be out on my own. We have a kid together. We're adults. We need to do it on our own, not live with your parents. David had no drive to move out of his parents' house.
Did David want to get married? Is that something?
He wanted to be married. He did ask me to marry him, and we were engaged, but we never set a date because I was like, I'm not marrying you until we move out on our own and you're not letting your parents control your every move. Like, you let them control everything. Anything we would do, they were like, oh, well, da-da-da-da-da.
Do you have a job right now?
Not right now. I'm a full-time student right now.
Kelly defended her ability to be a good parent. She told detectives that she was the logical person to take custody of her child now that David was out of the picture.
Before he took her, why would I not have custody of her after, you know? I mean, I didn't go over there and demand her to give my daughter to me because we're still an open investigation. I didn't want that to be, oh, well, she's guilty of doing some kind of harm to him or something. You know, I didn't want that to be a factor in there. And I just talked to a lawyer yesterday about it, actually, because I was like, you know, this is what's going on. And I want to protect myself and my daughter as well, because I know how Debbie is. Every time she would get mad, that's the first thing she would attack is my visits with my daughter.
Kelly wasted no time acting on her plan to get her daughter back. She knew David's stepmother, Debbie, was returning home with her from New York on the evening of June the 29th. Kelly showed up at the Heisler's house the following day. She was furious when David's parents refused to let her in. Police officers showed up to referee the conflict. Inside the house, Debbie was distraught. There was no way she was releasing her granddaughter to Kelly after all she had done to keep her safe up to this point. At 6 years old, her granddaughter was almost the same age as David had been when he came into her life at just 5 years old. She thought of David as her son, no different than if they were blood related, and she bonded to his child the same way. She was not about to give her up just because Kelly was kicking up a fuss.
That's how long it takes for them to get it into the freaking court.
They want $3,000 for Kelly to even see an attorney.
And I'm not Debbie. I don't have millions of dollars like she seems to make everybody believe.
We'll go to the court tomorrow morning and we'll be over here. Come on.
Bunch of bullshit.
Can't
freaking
withhold
my child from me like that.
Is it locked? She said to go in.
Okay, David, this is what's going on. I'm talking to Captain Rogers too. We have to go by the court order. Okay, the paper she has does not show, it shows dates. Obviously, David said these are dates we could do, let me know. Nothing's decided on, we can't enforce anything. I don't know if it's going to cause a problem in the court with refusing to let her see the kid. Here's the situation. You're the court-appointed supervisor, and I can't force you to supervise her. But we have to document what happened.
Please.
We have to document a report that you refused to do it, and the reasons why.
Will you please make sure we respect that, and please make sure that you also document that this isn't even her night.
No, I understand.
Okay. Yeah, that's all.
That's what we're going off of.
Okay,
right.
Thank you. Perfect.
That's what we have to follow.
We respect that. He said that, you know, it would be documented. She could take us to court for that,
yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
She's extremely unhappy with that and took off. And I completely understand your position where there's so many unknowns with David right now, and that's one of the unknowns is her.
Said no.
I'm just hearing her overhearing her right now say that.
She said, well, David's not here, so I should.
I have custody of my daughter. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know
how to play. I'm sorry.
But right now, we don't know where David is.
No.
She's only got supervised visitation. We can't release.
We can't give her custody because that's not what the court is documented.
That's why I told you. You've got to get a court order for her.
It sounds like she should be able to take the kid with her.
Anyway,
she is the mom of the child, but it is supervised visitation right now, unless the judge says she doesn't have to have supervised visitation.
And that is not the case. Sole custody has been given to my son with her ongoing supervision. That just happened on the 13th. That's why I'm hearing her say that. And my son's missing.
Because I heard something like that, and she said, yeah, well, since David's not here, I should be able to.
I'm willing to let her talk to her. Just not today. I can't do this. And I'm willing to follow the court order, but that does not allow her to come back here till next Wednesday.
Maybe by next Wednesday.
Maybe by next Wednesday, And hopefully by next Wednesday, they've cleared her.
Yeah.
And we can move on.
Well, but there's a lot of time between now and then.
Right.
A lot of things can happen.
Every day, more things develop.
Right.
There's so many unknowns right now.
There's
so many unknowns. And we're doing our best piece together.
You know, there's a possibility they took off someplace.
We don't know.
You know?
Yeah, we don't know. That's still a good possibility.
We completely understand all of it.
He's been known to take off for 3 days, but this is longer than he's ever been gone.
Ever.
Detectives continued to investigate Kelly. They didn't believe that she was telling them the truth. To verify her story, they interviewed the homeowner who was renting her a room, a 54-year-old woman named Tammy Freeman, who Kelly referred to as Mom. They learned that Tammy had given Kelly and a man named Frank McCard a ride early Monday morning. She dropped them off not far from the Heisler home. Frank was 55 years old and often went by the nickname Hollywood. He had also been living at Tammy's place. He and Kelly had a brief romantic relationship when they first met, but now she only viewed him as a close friend. It was common knowledge that Frank was obsessed with Kelly.
Like I said, I haven't gone in there and touched anything, even though she told me to do that. I haven't done it just for that simple reason, because I don't want to be a part of whatever's going on in there and with this whole thing. You know, I'm still very upset.
Do you feel like you're not a part of it?
I wasn't a part of it. I mean, other than the fact that, I mean, not knowingly, because I did give them the ride over there, but I didn't know that anything was going on. I mean, I didn't even think about it. It all makes sense now, but I didn't even think about it. But I have to believe with Kelly that, you know, the person that she is and the kind-hearted person that she is, that there's just no way she would have been a part of it without being forced. You know what I'm saying? It makes perfect sense that she was forced. Frank, I don't know a lot about him, so.
But he lives up here.
He's a friend of hers. He's homeless. He had no place to go. He offered to do some work for me around my house. He's helped me pour some concrete. He's helped me hang some things around the house. And in return, you know, we give him a bed in the garage, which, of course, is a real roaster right now.
And do you own that house?
A week after David's disappearance, police brought Kelly down to the police station to question her again. At first, she stuck to her claim that she was just as shocked and upset as everyone else that David was missing, and she resented Debbie for not letting her comfort her daughter at that difficult time.
What are your expectations now with David being either... We're thinking the worst.
I've never had that conversation with him.
So what is your thoughts in going to the court? What is your expectation of custody with Mariah?
My feeling with Mariah is like, my daughter's been through enough in her short little life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's been kind of just like pulled all different directions. I never wanted that for her. I never wanted her to be in a broken home.
She needs stability.
And she needs to know that she's got that love and support of all her family. Like, that's all I ever wanted, was her to feel loved from all of us, regardless how we feel towards each other or whatever conflict we go through. Like, it's not her fault, and she shouldn't have to feel that. And now that he's missing, I kind of feel like Mariah needs her mom to be there, and Debbie's not allowing me to do that. Like, I feel like with Daddy missing, Mariah's probably scared, she's probably sad. As her mom, I just want to be there to comfort those feelings for her, you know? And I tried to explain that to Debbie, like, as much as you're missing your son and wish that you could hug him right now, I miss my daughter and want to hug her right now. And it's very unfair that you're not letting me do that. You're not letting me be the mother to my daughter. It hurts, because when I talked to Mariah on Saturday after Debbie denied me of my visitation, I got to Skype with her, and she expressed to me that she was sad because I couldn't be there with her, that she wished that I could be there with her all the time. And she expressed to me that she was scared because I don't know if it's something that was told to her or she just like made her own opinion, I don't know, but she said to me that she was scared because she thought somebody was gonna come into the house and take her or Nala, her puppy. And I said, honey, nobody's gonna take you. Nobody's gonna do anything bad to you. I said, you're safe. It's okay. The cops are making sure the house is safe there. Nothing bad's gonna happen to you.
Police were starting to piece together what had happened to David on the morning he disappeared using cell phone records and other pieces of evidence. But there were still unanswered questions. The text conversation between Kelly and David ended abruptly just before 4 a.m. on June the 27th, only 14 minutes after David had sent two photos, one of his father's empty bed and another of the empty space in the garage where he usually parked his car. The pictures were accompanied by this message: "He is gone." Kelly responded, "Good." David sent his final message at 3:56 a.m. It read, "Can you text me back? Let me know if you are coming or if I should go to bed or wait up for you." Kelly's cell phone log revealed that she placed a short phone call to David after that text. In her interview with the police, Kelly insisted that she hadn't gone to David's house the morning he disappeared, but admitted that she had headed over there the previous day in the early morning hours. She sensed that David was lying about his father's absence, and she lied too, telling him that she ran out of gas. She turned around and went back to her home without seeing him.
No, but on Saturday when we were talking about me going over there, mm-hmm. I had asked him at one point what time his dad goes to work.
He said,
I don't remember
3:00.
What day it was, but I had asked him what time his dad goes to work, and that's why he said, so you'll be here at 3:20. Like, he was assuming, because I asked him what time his dad went to work, that I was going to show up there.
But I mean, so far as to asked for proof that he wasn't there. I mean, he sent those pictures to you.
Yeah, I didn't ask him for those pictures on Sunday, though. I had asked him for proof on Saturday when I was telling him I'm on my way there. Prove to me that he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like he was, like, beating around every question that I was asking him. And I kind of got the feeling like there was something he wasn't trying to say to me. And so I was like, then prove it. Prove to me that your dad's not there. And he's like, how? And I said, I don't know. Go take a picture of his car not in the driveway or something. I don't know. And then all of a sudden Sunday, he sends me the pictures
You asked specifically to take a picture of the garage. And you asked specifically to take a picture of the
bedroom. I don't remember what specifically I said to him. But I had said, that was on Saturday that I said that to him. That I said, prove to me that he's not there. And I said, I don't know, take a picture of his car not in the garage or him not in his room or whatever. I don't know exactly my wording on it or whatever. But then he didn't send those pictures to me until Sunday.
Frank's a wild card in my mind with him. And with him, with the feelings that he has for you. In court, they have recording systems in the courts. So everything that people say in the courts are heard.
Right.
After the judge gave the ruling, he tells you he'll fix this. Why do you think he said that? He said, I will fix this.
Fix this.
That's what he told him. Mm-hmm. I'll fix this.
I don't remember him saying that to me.
So
I'm at the court hearing for custody?
When the judge made the final ruling on June 13th.
I know he was saying a lot of stuff when we came out of the courtroom to
mm-hmm.
David. Like, he was like...
Like what?
Like, he was angry about mm-hmm. the fact that David was getting custody and I was still mm-hmm. going to continue.
Really angry.
Yeah, like, I was just like, will you just shut up?
This is the time that you need to come clean and tell us, because if you don't, after this, your daughter is gone. You will never see her again.
That,
you understand that, right?
I do understand that.
And so if you have anything at all,
you guys all the information
anything.
That I can recall, like...
I mean, we've got your phone. We've got
phone.
GPS on it.
Right.
The same thing with Frank's.
We've got Frank's phone.
We're going to find out what happened. It's just a matter
of time.
Right.
Whether you help us figure out what really happened, or whether we find out by having to go through people's phones and do this the hard way, the long way. Not that we're about to do it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll do
it's
it.
It's going to come out.
There's just no way it's not going to come out.
Yeah.
So right now is your opportunity to share anything with us that you want. So we have a county attorney that's listening in on this, and he can make any deals or recommendations with you right now. But after this, you walk out the door, it's done.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. Did you tell Frank that Dave's alone at home?
I don't think I ever told him that, like...
This isn't the time to be sure.
No,
Do you understand what's at stake here?
I do understand.
There's someone's life that's probably been taken.
I do understand.
You understand that. And it's the father of your child.
I know. I understand this is a serious thing. And I'm...
So we're toying with in our head.
I have
either you had something to do with it and had knowledge of it, or this rogue, crazy boyfriend of yours went and did it on his own. Either way, you know what happened, Kelly. You do. I just don't know what battle you're fighting inside that you think you can't tell us what's going on. If you're worried about being in trouble, we can get through that. Again, like we said, the county attorney's here. He's listening. If there's something you'd like to say to him, you can say that.
We're welcome.
I don't know what you're fighting with. I can only imagine the remorse that you're going through.
But whatever it is, it needs to end now. Because if we find out later, or we crack this a different way,
no one's going to work with you.
It's done. No one's going to work with you anymore. Your child's gone. That's it. They're going to be with Debbie and Ken for the rest of her life. And you won't have that opportunity to have your daughter. So we need it now. We're done playing around. It's been an entire week and a day now. So what happened? Tell us.
Detectives continued their mission, trying to persuade Kelly to tell them what happened using various tactics. They told her she shouldn't protect Frank, and they appealed to her conscience and any feelings of guilt she might have been harboring about David's demise. And they said that she needed to tell the truth for the sake of her daughter so she could cut a deal and see her again. Finally, she cracked.
You guys walked to the home. Okay. What happened from there?
I knocked on the door and David opened the door and Frankie pushed me out of the way.
So Frankie pushed you out of the way so that he could get to David?
Yeah.
Where was this their little tussle at?
He pushed me out of the way, like right inside the front door. And like I was crouched in the corner, like up against the door. And David was like fighting back to him, like trying to push him away or whatever. And I just stayed crouched right there because I was scared.
Did you see them going to the kitchen area?
I saw them, like, I saw him have David in the living room by the couch. And then I saw him open the garage door to go out in the garage, and then he got David's keys and he asked me to put the car in the garage. So I pulled the car in the garage, and David was in, like, he got David in the back seat of the car, and at some point David came back inside, and I think that's when they got in the tussle by the garage door, like going out to the garage.
Is that where the blood came from?
I think that's where the blood came
from. Tussle, what do you mean?
Like, they were like...
Wrestling,
or did he get punched?
Frankie hit him, but I don't know how many times he hit him. But I remember seeing him like hit David, and David was hitting back to him and like trying to push him off of him. And I was just like scared the whole time, and I was just like trying not to look or see what was going on. And then David said, okay, I'll just go in the car. Okay, I'll go in the car. But Frankie kept telling him that, because David said something about not wanting to die or something, and Frankie said, I'm not gonna kill you, I'm not gonna kill you, just get in the car.
The detectives had heard everything they needed to arrest Kelly for her part in the kidnapping of David Heisler. Now that Kelly was sitting in jail, it started to sink in just how much trouble she was facing. The police weren't buying her claim that she was a victim, and her future looked bleak. Detectives went to interview her again, and she completely fell apart.
Is there anyone else involved?
No.
You say that now, but you have not been truthful with us. Is there anyone else involved?
I'm trying to be truthful with you now because I'm scared.
So you and Frankie.
Frankie and Tammy.
Yeah.
Why would Tammy get involved the way she did? She didn't want Mariah to be with the Heislers?
I don't know. She just was trying to help me, I think.
How?
By giving me a ride. And she just probably wanted me to be happy too. Like, honestly, when I went there that day with Frankie, that wasn't supposed to be how it went. And I expressed to Tammy that I was scared because I didn't want to see that happen to David. I wasn't wanting that.
But you baited him. You knocked on the door for his trust. You sent those text messages to him to gain?
I didn't know that.
That?
I didn't know that that's what was going to happen.
What did you think was going to happen?
I'll make him go away? Hold on, what else did he say?
He was just supposed to scare him.
I'll make David go away, is what he said. And even in the courthouse, I'll fix this, right? You had to have known something, Kelly.
I didn't know. That's what he was to do.
But at the same time, you sat in the front seat of that car. At any point,
I was
at a stoplight, you could have got out.
At that time, I was scared because I thought Frank was going to hurt me too.
But he wasn't there when we were there in your house with you, talking to you and interviewing you. You could have, at that point in time, said, hey, there's something weird. Maybe even when we invited you over to our police department, you could have come then and had a talk to us.
I was scared.
Scared about what?
That Frankie would hurt me.
How would he help
hurt
you?
Somebody else in David's family.
Well, he did.
Yeah, he did.
The detectives had unfinished business with the homeowner, Tammy. They had a hunch that she was more involved than she was letting on. Kelly had filled in more details about that morning, and now they had a sequence of events that was matching up to the trail of evidence. After dropping Kelly and Frank near the Heisler's home, Tammy stopped at a McDonald's for a sausage burrito. Then Kelly called her asking to be picked up. She was near a freeway exit. Tammy told police that she pulled behind David's car, but she said she did not see Frank or David inside because the windows were tinted. Both cars then drove off. Tammy and Kelly then went to a casino in Mesquite, Nevada, about 45 minutes away. Tammy said she went there because she had a $5 birthday money card the casino had gifted her and that she had to use it before the end of the month. Then Frank called them asking to be picked up in Beaver Dam, Arizona, a 15-minute drive away. Frank had ditched David's 2002 Saturn there, and police found it 4 days later on July the 1st. Then, Kelly, Frank, and Tammy went to another casino where they shaved Frank's head to disguise his appearance. On July 5th, police moved to arrest Frank McCard at Tammy Freeman's house. They also brought Tammy in for questioning.
Okay, I'm sorry,
I'm sorry.
Finger, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
God! Squeezing my finger, man.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll take it off. I'm sorry.
Relax. God damn it! You need to put two pairs on. I can't do one. I can't do one.
I'll double lock them right there.
I can't do one pair, man. You got to put two pairs on there.
He'll do that.
Okay. Fucking serious, man. Hey,
step right over here, okay? And just relax. Or we'll be
right back.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
Yep.
For fucking years he's paying for it.
Oh, I don't need the paperwork.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
what do you need to go with you? I won't put you in cuffs or anything. Officer O'Brien will search you, and then you'll come with us.
Here.
Okay.
I don't need that.
You guys just asked for it.
We don't need it. I don't need it anymore.
Mom?
Oh, man.
This is
fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but we're the ones putting up these fucking fires. But yeah, we're. They're arresting Mom, Dad.
We're not arresting her. She's just coming with us.
They're going to take Mom to her David Heister's fucking disappearance, dude.
Okay, Mr. McCard, you're going to come out here.
Well, I want to know why I'm under arrest for.
You're under arrest for Mr. Heiser.
Mr. Heiser?
Yeah.
They're taking Frankie, too, and he just got out.
Huh? That's what the fuck talking about,
well,
man.
They're taking Heiser.
No, I'm not.
Whatever.
Come on to the street so I can search you.
Yeah, let's get a county guy. Hey, I got you for illegal search seizure on me.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone's fucking taking her right now, Dad. We're fucking bullshit!
You don't have a necklace?
You guys don't understand that, sir! This is fucking bullshit! We're putting up these fucking flyers and my mom's under investigation!
Nothing else? Okay.
I know my rights, officer!
You can give that to her.
Okay. Just stay right here for me, okay? She wants to give this to you, okay?
Dad's calling the lawyer right now. This is fucking bullshit.
Did you hear that?
Okay.
You're just going to be detained and questioned, okay? So you just had hip surgery? When was that?
I had a hip replaced.
When was that?
About 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago?
Mom! Don't talk to him until you have a lawyer there.
Despite the advice given by her husband and daughter, detectives were able to persuade Tammy to talk without a lawyer present.
Were you?
We just want to know, on that Monday morning,
where did you drop
them off? Where did you drop them off exactly?
And about what time do you remember it being? Here in Santa Clara, when you dropped them off?
I have no idea what time anything.
Well, how about this?
Was it
did
dark?
You give him a ride from your house to Santa Clara?
Yes.
Who besides Kelly and Frankie was in the car?
Nobody.
So you dropped him off up the street. You've taken Kelly to do her visitations before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you knew it was in the area of
David's home?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Now that Frank McCard was in custody, detectives started pressing him on whether he killed David in the desert. They found it hard to believe that he just left him out there alive. But no matter how hard they pushed, Frank repeatedly insisted that David was fine when he drove away.
Before we get to where David is, let's talk about how David died.
Hold on.
Here's the thing. You keep answering me so quick, man. You're not taking time to think about your answers.
He was alive when I left. I swear on my life.
Dude, your life's not worth that much. You shouldn't be swearing on it.
I'm saying he was alive when I left. Honest to God. God strike me dead right now.
I wish, man. That would be awesome.
I know. But I'm telling you, he was alive when I left. I didn't hurt him. I'm not that cruel.
You think it's less cruel to leave him alive out in the middle of the desert than to kill him dead there?
No.
That's your answer right here. You realize
the difference between your answer right now determines whether you get life or determines whether or not you get the death sentence. You understand that, right?
I understand.
So, I would be honest with that.
No, I swear.
No.
God strike me dead right now. He was alive when I left.
That's not how it works.
He was alive when I left. No bullshit. All things on the table right now. He was alive when I left him.
Nope.
Yes, he was. He was too. That's right, we're dead right now. I swear to
you.
Swear.
You know, Frank.
He was alive.
You talk so much about God and the Maker and blah, blah, blah.
No, I know,
blah.
I'm just saying.
But
I'm saying,
the thing is, I'm sitting here and I don't believe for a second that you believe in God.
I believe in God.
I do not believe,
I do believe
that
God.
You believe in God.
But
obviously, you don't believe in God because you use his name in vain constantly. Constantly. The story you're telling us right now is that you kicked David out of the car. You untied his hands, right? You take the thing off his head, and you just drive away. And he's, you know.
It's our daylight. I mean, going down, going, and then knowing it turned around, and then drop him off, and bail him.
So
it doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. On his directions, he's like, oh, that's the way I need to go. And there's all kinds of traffic on that road anyway. So I don't, why, I, don't why, I don't know why. I don't know why he wouldn't get picked up.
Okay.
Or whatever. I mean, anybody who's gonna see someone outside the road is gonna pick
so
him up.
So let me tell you something.
I mean, I would.
These guys started to tell you a little while ago. They have your cell phone physically in their possession. But you understand the warrant. So they got a warrant for your cell phone. Now, no matter.
It actually is not my phone. I don't know it.
Whatever. No, hear me out. No matter what you may have erased off your phone or got rid of or anything else, it's there forever.
I know about it.
You get that.
I know about it.
So anything that's ever been done with that phone, whether it's
violent
overthrow of the government, whether it's plotting a kidnapping and murder with your girlfriend, that's just all there.
The phone disappeared for 3 days and I went and got it back. I tracked it down and got it back.
Okay, who'd you track it down from?
No, because I called it, and some kid took his sticky fingers, picked it up, walked out with it.
How'd you find him? How'd you track him down?
I just like Facebook, whatever, and it's like
Facebook. How'd you know who had it?
Huh?
Do you know the kid?
He took two phones before from over Tammy's house.
Okay, you need to start hanging out with fewer shitheads, right?
Fingers.
Listen.
No, I just watched out for him.
Was it Frank or Francis? What'd y'all decide?
Frank.
Frank, you're not helping yourself in the slightest little bit here.
I don't know why.
Well, because you're not telling the truth, Frank.
I am telling the truth.
Listen. We got everything but David's body.
And I told you.
So
I don't know where I don't know.
You have an opportunity to tell the truth now, or you have an opportunity for the truth to come out at trial. Mind you, as you brought up before, your Maker's looking down and he's watching all this, and he's gonna know. And from the look of you, you're not gonna be around that much longer anyow. You're falling apart.
Ugh.
So let's get this figured out sooner rather than later. So why don't you help yourself out now? Tell us the truth of exactly what happened, and we can stop, you know, browbeating each other here with nonsense.
How'd you get him out of the car, Frank?
Walked him out, opened the door, and walked over to the tree.
Did you tell him get out of the car and he got out under his own power, or did you have to grab him and yank him out?
No, he got him out of his own.
Because, I mean, he's still got the mask on, he's still got the cover on, right?
He got out on his own.
Okay. And what'd you tell him?
I'm not gonna hurt you, blah blah blah, and you're, if you get loose, you're free to go down the road, whatever. That's all I said. Not that.
Okay.
I said I'm not hurting you. I'm not gonna kill you or none of that. You know, I kept on guaranteeing him that. You're gonna kill me. I said no, I'm not. That's not the plan. I keep telling myself why I haven't did that. I'm gonna cross the line like that. Somebody that I'm not my family or not. I'm not.
Yeah, but
married and all that stuff. But I seen that little girl crying out, man. And that tore me up, man.
Yeah.
and it still tears me up.
Yeah.
You know? Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't? Who, I mean, anybody, same scenario with anybody else. You know, who would not? Who would not be torn up with something like that? You know?
Frank thought David was hurting his daughter and told police that that was the motive for his crime. Kelly had made those allegations to the police and child welfare authorities, but police determined that her claims weren't credible. Investigators took Frank on the road so he could show them where he left David in the Arizona Strip. This is an arid region north of the Grand Canyon that consists of almost 3 million acres of land, 4,000 miles of dirt road as well. It is among the most rugged and remote public land in the United States. They kept their audio recorder running as they drove up and down the rough roads for hours, searching for landmarks that Frank remembered seeing when he dropped David off.
Yeah, I bought him out of this road.
You remember this?
Yeah.
Holy shit, you're expecting him to walk out of here, Frank?
No, because you can have a long walk. Think about it.
Hell, Pioneer couldn't walk this in a week. You took him out here with no water and left him out here? What'd you think was going to happen,
dude? I left. There's a bottle of water in the car.
You left him with some bottle of water?
They did not find David Heisler that day, but police didn't give up. They launched a search and rescue operation. Their highly skilled team used vehicles on the ground and put a helicopter in the air to hunt for him. Officers went to Ken and Debbie's house to update them on the search.
We covered an enormous area, and we have nothing at this time. There are some things that we found there that lead us to believe we're in the right area. We found some other things, and we're working on that. At this time, I can tell you that they have covered this area with great intensity. And so I'm waiting on a phone call to find out if that search is going to end today or if they're going to continue any more days. I can tell you that what they covered today was huge. It's at least a 12.5 mile radius. And in the conditions that we have right now, somebody getting that great of a distance on foot is
especially near impossible. Especially without the gear and shoes on.
Yeah. It's almost a near impossibility. We place them at a 4 mile radius at the most. And we went 12.5.
And there's a possibility he could have head trauma. We don't know his condition when.
Absolutely, and that's the issue. We don't know what kind of shape he was in.
6 weeks after the failed search and rescue effort, an Arizona Bureau of Land Management geologist who was working in the Mount Turnbull area of the Arizona Strip, he made a grisly discovery. He found human remains beside a dirt road on August the 18th. It was the body of David Corey Heisler. He was located about 5 miles from the tree that Frank McCard had told police he tied David to. The body was so badly decomposed that medical examiners could not determine a definitive cause of death, but it is believed that David died from exposure to the elements about 3 days after Frank abandoned him in the remote desert wilderness. Legally, this was a complicated case because the crimes occurred in two states, Utah and Arizona, and the federal government also had jurisdiction because the kidnapping became a federal crime when it crossed state lines. For the Heisler family, that could have meant enduring a total of 9 trials, 3 each for each of the 3 defendants. Prosecutors consulted David's parents on how they would feel if global plea deals were offered to end the ordeal. Debbie and Ken Heisler decided that they could live with that arrangement. They wanted to focus their time and energy on raising their son's child, who they adopted in 2019, the same year that the last of the court cases finally concluded. Tammy Renee Freeman pled guilty to vehicle theft, aggravated burglary, and aggravated kidnapping. She was sentenced to 1 to 15 years in prison for each of the 3 counts. She served 3 years and has since been released. Kelly Marie Perry pled guilty to kidnapping resulting in death. She was sentenced to 35 years and is currently serving her time at the federal prison in Aliceville, Alabama. Francis Lee McCard pled guilty to murder and kidnapping. He was sentenced to a total of 75 years, 29 years in federal court, and 46 years in Arizona. His sentences run consecutively. He is serving his federal sentence first at a prison in Victorville, California.